This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore.
Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com. Time to talk about all things sexuality. We have an exciting show for you tonight. Not only are we going to talk about gay tantra and an iPhone app that can actually, it can take the place of using condoms or the pill. If you've ever felt crazy when you were on hormonal birth control or you're sick of the way condoms feel, this might be living in your pocket someday and taking care of all the crazy math for you. It's a really interesting way of looking at natural birth control. We also have Tantra teacher Evelina Rose from Love Journey Tantra in the studio. Evelina, welcome back to Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you, Monica. I love being here.
Yeah, welcome. Glad to have you. Also, Corey Sklar from Illogical Contraption is our token straight guy. And Illogical Contraption is kind of like heavy metal coast-to-coast on whippets.
Yes, that's true, Monica. Thanks for having me. It's a
pleasure.
Hey,
I'm glad to have you here. So the job of the token straight guy, and you should take this job very seriously, is to ask questions from your perspective, whatever that is. We're going to be talking about everything from birth control to sacred sexuality tonight. And there's actually some really amazing sex parties that are coming up. So if you have ever heard of anything like this or you want to pipe in at any time.
I have a lot of questions about sex parties, so I'll chime in with those. And also, I want to know when I could have tantric gay sex on a mobile app in my pocket. So
yeah,
talk about that later.
That's the 2.0 version.
Okay.
Yes. So that'll be happening very soon. Coming up actually on the 25th, there are three amazing parties. I don't know how you're going to choose. I don't know how I'm going to choose. Our Gourmet Life's 8-course erotic dinner is the 25th at 7 o'clock. It's a private party. You need an invitation. I can email it to you, sexplorationwithmonica@gmail.com. But it's this crazy dinner. And basically, as it gets served to you, each plate hits the table. The servers take off an article of clothing and they're playing with each other and making out. And it's really lovely. Okay. And then there's the Sex Worker Positive live show. It's actually a live sex show run for and by sex workers. These sex workers are like, if I had to make my own kind of performance, what would this be like? And it's called Come and Glitter. And it's also on the 25th, Saturday the 25th. You can find out more at comeandglitter.com. You actually have to have a private invitation because, of course, anytime they serve alcohol and there's live sex, you can't invite the public. So you have to become a member, blah, 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 but you basically just buy a ticket. So go to the website, click on invitations. And one public party, that's because you can't see any nipples, is the topless, minus nipples, second base party by Club Exotica. They present this Purr With Me event where everyone dresses up as different kinds of felines and they talk about sexuality as kind of you know how you can tell if a cat doesn't want to be petted? And like some people at sex parties, they're like, well, how do I know if I should touch someone? Well, how do you know from a cat whether or not you should touch them? Because the cat is all like kind of moves away from you as you touch it, or it puts its ears back or whatever. So all the body language cues and a bunch of purring, that's at Supper Club, Harrison and
Third.
Second and third, right?
Harrison and third. I know that because my band practices right next to there. If I knew that there were sex parties going on right next door, I would be there a lot more.
Yeah, pretty sexy parties. They're not all the way sex. It's more like making out and toplessness with pasties. And you can go all the way to second base. That's what the second base party is all about.
Now, is there, you know, when a cat's in heat, a female cat's in heat and they make those terrible noises?
Then the rah!
Yeah. Do ladies make noises like that?
I haven't heard anything like that, although if you requested that, I'm sure that you could fulfill that desire.
Question one out of the way.
Okay, good. Thank you. Corey Sklar.
You said it right.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. So, Evelina, you've got a lot of different classes coming up. You work with couples and a lot of different kinds of tantra classes, sacred sexuality classes, deepening into sacred love. Mm-hmm. So, my perception of tantra is that oftentimes it's the female and the masculine energy, and they're kind of privileged, like the same way that heterosexuality is privileged in our culture. Mm-hmm. But you kind of have an interesting point that maybe that's not how sexuality works for everyone or for everyone all the time.
I think there's a lot of varieties to how sexuality works. And that Tantra is really about including all varieties. Everything's included. Everyone has the masculine and feminine within, so if that polarity is already there. And I began my teaching with women only, with lesbian couples, lesbian bisexual couples, and have grown from there because I feel that the same depth of connection is possible, whether they're same gender or opposite gender or somewhere in between.
Right. I think that there's something really interesting, and you taught me this amazing communication tool, the love sandwich. So we'll talk about communication and the love sandwich. Mm-hmm. And also I want to talk about the meditations that you do and the divine beloved. So we'll have a lot to talk about with you. But I also wanted to bring up, you guys know Rick Santorum, a conservative political candidate, neoconservative, very religious. And actually, he is shaming women. Not only does he think that birth control is bad, but also he's okay with shaming women who use birth control because he thinks that it's not okay for people to have sex if they are preventing the possibility of birth, because that's the sacred part. The quote that I saw in the, I think it was the New York Times, it was an online article. I posted it to my Facebook if you want to check me on that, is that that's not how things are supposed to be. If you are within, you're only supposed to have sex within a marriage, and you're supposed to be able to accept the risk of being reproductive. That's the perfect way sexual union should be. That's the only way that it's sacred. And it's interesting because, you know, we're talking a lot about sacred sex during this show, but then we're also talking about birth control. And, you know, how do we make sexuality sacred? And how, you know, what is the sacred part of sexuality? And is reproductive potential the sacred part? And I mean, you know, certainly, condoms make sex feel a little bit more plastic. I don't know that it makes it not sacred. Katie, what do you think?
That's a really tough one.
I know, it's hard to unravel.
I mean, my own experience with using natural fertility charting, I really enjoy it because sex without a condom and sex without being on the pill or any kind of device like that really does feel better for me. But in no way would I say that that is the only way it should ever be.
It's the only way God wants you to do it. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the pill really can, you know, alter your body chemistry and make you emotionally crazy and, you know, or it can, there's a lot of different things that give you yeast infections and all sorts of unpleasantness. So it's kind of cool that you can chart out your cycle so clearly that you can really see when you can and when you can't have sex. And it's kindara.com, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool, Katie. I'm so glad that you're here on Sexploration with Monica.
Yeah, it's so great to be here.
Yeah. Thanks. So, Evelina, you've got a bunch of different classes coming up. The first women-only class is on March 15th. Now, that's at your retreat center in Sebastopol.
That's right.
And you have this beautiful center out there. I know that you also like lease it out for private events and things, and you've really created a sacred space out there.
We have. We've created a temple that I think is like some of the ancient temples. Vaulted ceiling, lots of windows out into beautiful gardens, lushly carpeted so that we can play on the floor or dance in a way that's really comfortable. People walk into the room and it already lifts their spirit.
People I'm in.
In awe.
How much is a ticket? I want to go to this place.
Great.
Well, it's out in Sebastopol.
I can make it there. I got a zip card. I could get a zip card.
Sweet. Yeah. Sweet. And she is also doing classes for men and women here in the city for gay and bisexual men. It's on the 25th here in San Francisco. There's one for women only. Sorry, Corey. And then there's for women and men out in Sebastopol again on the 17th of March.
That's right.
Right? Okay. So tell me about the energy of feminine and masculine. Do you bring that energy for couples, for women only, for men only? Like, how does that energy work?
You bring it for everyone. The symbol for The Kundalini is actually the caduceus, which the American Medical Association has picked up. I don't think they know what it means.
Mm.
But it shows two serpents moving up through the chakras. And
right,
that's
intertwining.
That's the masculine and feminine side of the Kundalini. So the life force itself has masculine and feminine aspects. We all have divine masculine and divine feminine. It's in all of us. So the weaving of the energies are the same, regardless of who you're working with. The ways they might see relationships or come into relationships may differ.
Mm-hmm. And you also talk about the divine beloved. Mm-hmm. And instead of being like the idea of the one, and right, you have to wait to meet that person, you kind of have a different idea of the divine beloved.
Absolutely, that we're connecting with the divine as beloved. This is like you see in the Rumi poetry or Hafiz, which relates to the divine as love, lover, and beloved. And so that we all have this link with the divine beloved, and then we learn to create a deep connection with the beloved within. So we have that beloved within as lover and divine beloved as lover. So when you have both those in place, you already have a fullness, and you're not coming to the other for the better half or the other half.
Mm.
You're coming to people who are full to add. So it's like the chocolate at the end of the meal instead of
instead of being starving.
That's right.
I need you.
Hey, Evelyn, do you think that the whole notion that's so known to us, finding your other half, is that a myth?
I think it is a myth. Mm-hmm. I think the other half's inside of you, and we're all coming with too many needs when we think it's outside of us. The whole idea of what's sacred, to me, what's sacred in Tantra is you're connecting with your whole soul. I call it a multi-chakra affair, so that all of you are connecting. And if both people have that, then it's two whole people coming together instead of two halves.
So sometimes we feel alone, or sometimes we feel wounded by different things in our life. What are some ways to move through that and find wholeness?
In Tantra, we bring everything to our experience. So you breathe into the wounds, but you're also breathing your light to the wounds. And as you build this sense of connection with the divine, you're actually providing support for the wounded parts. I think of it as taking care of like the inner child parts so the adult can play.
Mm.
So that the part that of you that's able to really link to source and to your own life force can, in a sense, kind of rise above the wounds. So you're not denying them, you're letting them be there, and you're bringing love to them. And you're allowing your whole body, your whole being to express. Because we're all more than the wounds.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, there's really no difference for a gay person or a woman or a heterosexual couple. Like they all have, you know, equal parts male and female energy, and they move through their own experience of themselves and their own experience of their partners. So maybe it doesn't matter who we're having a class with, but there is something important about having different classes. And I wondered if you could talk about that, like why you have women-only classes and why you have classes only for gay and bisexual men.
I began the women-only classes when I was in relationship with a woman. Being bisexual, I was partnering with a woman who had been mostly in the lesbian world, and the heterosexual situations were uncomfortable for her, and a lot, because the leaders would only talk about the men do this and the women do that. So it kind of left us out, left us in another category. So I began with that and found that a lot of women, especially women identified women, women who only love women as romantic partners, they're so much more comfortable in a woman's only space. So it allows them to truly open to each other and to feel really out about their relationship. Interestingly, some heterosexual women feel safer there, so they can come and work on their relationships with Tantra and with themselves where there isn't a sexually charged atmosphere for them.
Mm-hmm.
So this workshop next Saturday is the first one I'm doing for gay men. I've had several gay men ask me over the years, and finally someone sponsoring it in San Francisco, Tim Lorenz, which is going to allow us to see how this feels and works with men, identified with men. And I think, again, there's a bigger comfort factor and a sense of I could show all of myself. I can be flamboyant if I want. I can be anywhere on this continuum of my masculine or feminine in this setting, including very male identified, that it's all going to be possible.
Right. So what are some of the meditations that you do? I remember the one where you write your name on your G-spot in golden light.
Yes.
I love that one.
On your G-spot.
That was really helpful, yeah.
So you take a pen and you put it inside yourself? Is that what you do?
Metaphorically. In golden light. You know, with your consciousness.
Very literal straight guy.
No, I mean, you could. Yeah. I mean, you'd want to wash it off and you'd want to make sure that maybe you put a condom on the pen.
Laser
in
pointer.
Any case.
Use a laser pointer.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Why not? But we're talking about kind of this meditation that you're kind of going visualizing, Evelina.
Yes.
Oh.
Right.
Imagining writing your name with a pen that writes golden white light or a paintbrush that paints radiant colors as a way to reclaim your sexuality. And then you can do that all over your body. So that's one. Another I'm loving a lot is to call in your own light, your own essence, like this beautiful spiraling light that spirals down from above the crown down through each chakra. Takes about 2 rounds per chakra, 2 or 3 rounds. And you follow it in with your consciousness, which helps you really get in the body and in the core of the body. Because when you come into the core of your body, it makes it magnetic. And it draws your energy in and releases everything else. So it's a way to let go of the day and let go of other people's energy. And then I have people come all the way into the heart and make an altar in the heart for whatever they're wanting to create. There's something called sex magic. So you're using the orgasmic energy to energize visions or symbols of whatever you're creating. So you come sit in the heart and discern what your heart most wants. And then find the symbol for that and put it on the altar and bring in the light to energize that.
Let's talk about some of the experiences that people have. I've actually taken her one-day class, which was amazing. It was so cool. I had this one meditation where I was laughing and crying at the same time. And then I felt like buzz of energy all over my body. And it was really, you know, you're like, wow, this is really kind of a spiritual experience. Weird. So that was really amazing and interesting. And I felt lots of interesting, different energy moving through my body. But what are some of the experiences that people have as they're doing these meditations?
They come to discover more of themselves. I've had people say, oh, I'm so much more peaceful. Wow. I haven't been this much in my body for a long time. It also helps people feel more connected with another. So if both people, let's say a pair, meditate together and bring their light in, and then they're in their heart and begin to breathe with each other, they see each other more. They're able to see beyond personality. I feel like the eyes of the heart are so much clearer than when we're in our mind and we're looking at someone, because we've got all our story, everything we're telling ourselves about them. So I've had 2 women, for instance, who did this meditation and then breathed together and looked in each other's hearts and eyes, and they said, we've been together 7 years. I don't think I've ever seen this woman like this.
Take that, Santorum.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's so, and there's so many different kinds of ways of exchanging sexual energy, not just sex. And I think it's all sacred.
It's all sacred. And when you add all the other chakras, it's so much more orgasmic and so much more ecstatic.
So how do you add chakras to your lovemaking?
You learn how to breathe your life force, your kundalini, up the chakras. So the body's designed to do that. If you use the PC exercises, people call them Kegels. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kegel put his name on them. Mm. But you use those kind of squeeze and relax.
Jewish man, by the way, Mr. Kegel.
Yes, yes. Laying claim. And then you add undulation and imagery. You can coax the kundalini up the chakras. And then you can share that energy with another person. You can actually play with the rainbow of the chakras. Breathe into each one. And then build that rainbow color, the red on the bottom.
So like visualize and imagine you feel it and mm-hmm. yeah. Interesting. Let's talk about erotic communication and getting what you want. First, the love sandwich, because I think it's so important. I love it and helpful in so many situations. Telling someone, I really love it that you're touching me or whatever's true for you. Mm-hmm. And then it would be even better if you could do it. Whatever, like this. And, oh, that's so great. See, you put love on each side. And in the middle is, in a positive way, how it can work even better.
Yes.
And you're talking about the critical importance of really vocalizing your desires in a relationship.
I am. I think of it as giving the other person the keys to the kingdom. So if there's something you like better than you're receiving and you don't share it, in a way, you're dishonoring them because you're not giving them a chance to please you. Mm-hmm. And I feel if you do share it, you're honoring them because it's communicating, I think you're the kind of person who'd love to please me if you knew how. Mm-hmm. And I'll sometimes say to a lover, I want to tell you, I like it just a little lighter and a little bit slower because I want to give you the keys to the kingdom. This is how you help me really open to you.
I'm going to use that line all the time now.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the keys to my kingdom. I mean, and I love it because, you know, telling people what you really like really gives them access to your turn on.
That's right. And then when you do the second part, which is the reward, it gives them access to their turn on.
Right.
Because you're saying, I'd like your tongue to be, should I do a whole love
Please,
sandwich?
Please do it. Yes. Yeah, do it.
I'm ready.
So... What I notice is that I really love kissing you. And when we're kissing, I would find it really erotic if your tongue could slow down a bit, find a way to meet my tongue and let our tongues do a dance together. And then if they can come in and out of both of our mouths, that allows me to really open to you. And I'd love to open to you. Then when you receive that, the reward is, so they win,
right.
You win, and it takes you to a more erotic place together.
Right. I love how sometimes in your eyes, when you're talking about the end of a love sandwich, I see the, like, you know, the Indian pictures of the people doing the kundalini different...
Yabhyam.
Exactly. The different... positions in the, what is that sacred book about sex called?
The Kama Sutra.
That's the one! I see the little eye facial expressions in your face.
Living Kama
That's
Sutra.
Fun. Exactly. Because, you know, and all of us kind of get a chance to do that whenever we're like, okay, what different positions can we be in? And
and how much more of my being can I involve in this?
That's right.
That's
not
what Tantra,
just your genitals.
That's right. That's what Tantra brings in, is having your beings commune with each other. So two people often begin at an altar, and they begin with breathing to link up the chakras and to get fully embodied in both of their centers.
Let's talk about the importance of full embodiment and also like getting out of your mind.
Mm-hmm. When you're in your mind, the other person isn't going to feel your presence. When you allow yourself to really enter your core, which is where all the chakras are centered, and your full body, you're available to receive from them in a way that they get it, that they've touched you. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're all really hungry for is to be received.
Mm-hmm.
We're hungry to be touched at a deep level and to know that we're really reaching the other person. So we do grounding, we do meditations that take you more into your legs, into your lower chakras. We do work with opening all of the chakras so you can get all the way in. And then you're receiving the erotic energy from the other at all these different levels. And it does leave you humming a lot of times.
Well, I imagine that if you're really in your mind, you're not able to feel this. You're not noticing the sensations on your body. So how could you be even enjoying sex as much as you could be if you can't really feel it?
That's right. And so often we go from talking to having sex. We try to go from our mind to our genitals, and a lot of us can do that. In Tantra, you go more slowly to that place. And the Cherokee Indians have a ritual called the Kwadoshka ritual, which is where you begin stroking the body, the whole body, after the breathing, starting with the extremities, the arms and the legs, all the way up the front, turn the person over, stroke the entire back, play with bringing the kundalini up the spine, then turn them over, and that's where you start lovemaking. So the whole body is alive, and the nerve endings in all the cells has been awakened. And then you can feel the exchange in a whole-bodied way. And when you orgasm, it's a whole-body orgasm.
So not only the importance of foreplay, but like how can you make an orgasm not just a genital event, but like everywhere, you know, sharing that experience kind mm-hmm. of event. In fact, I wanted to talk a little bit about orgasm and, you know, how special it can be. Mm-hmm. Because when you are having sex, oftentimes a couple can feel each other's orgasm mm-hmm. and that orgasm, that orgasmic energy will be transferred between the two people.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're breathing and letting the breath carry the orgasm into your sound. I think that two people can really stay in sync when they're allowing a sound as they're moving toward orgasm. If you're making love tantrically, that orgasm is rising up through the chakras and you're feeling it. You're feeling it as the other's central core gets more and more activated. It tends to be more multiply orgasmic, so it rises and then falls and may crest and then fall.
It's like jazz. Mm-hmm. It's like jazz, baby. It's mm-hmm. like soloing.
Music.
A lot like jazz.
Evelyn, I have a question. I love having sex. Evelyn, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. I love having sex when I'm stoned. I'm not going to lie. Uh-huh. Am I faking it? Am I faking the meditation? Is it just a shortcut? Is it not real?
Oh, I think it can be very real still. And what that allows is for more altered states. And I think of it as a way to teach you where there is to go. And then with Tantra, you learn how to get there with or without being stuck.
So it just points you in the right direction, maybe.
Yeah, It points you in the direction because it tends to bring two people really into now with each other. And that's where sexuality is the best. It's why a lot of people use it for that.
Validated, yes.
Well, and I think the interesting thing is I don't know if you guys have ever been around people on drugs and like felt like you were on drugs. Uh-huh. You're like, whoa, suddenly I feel really different. Mm-hmm. And I think that we really exchange energy with each other quite literally, you know, and especially during sex. Suddenly you're like, wow, I feel like touching this person here. And they're like, oh, that's just what I wanted. And so you really, it's this real communication. And the more barriers you can remove, you know, the more open you can be to that other person, you know, the more you can share energy.
Exactly. It's so interesting. We tend to avoid being vulnerable to another, and yet that's where all the pleasure is. That vulnerability where you really open and the two of you go beyond what you've known. I think when you're making love in a way you've never made love, then you're really letting your authentic being take you further. Mm-hmm. And then lovemaking can become a path to enlightenment.
Amen. Fun lightning.
Hey, can I ask you about go back to sex magic for a second?
Sure.
Now, is this sex magic in the like literal terms of magical rituals, or is this something else you're talking about?
The magic is more by the fact that you're moving the kundalini, the life force, through the core. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want to call into being and in power with that is going to be more strongly empowered.
Okay, because, you know, sex magic is usually associated with the occult and crazy rituals like that. What's your opinion on that way of thinking?
This seems way less the occult than it does understanding the powers of our own nature and what we've got within us, mm-hmm. being able to use it.
Gotcha.
So
and
I
like
think,
sex magic that we all have.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't need to read it in a spell book, right?
Right.
That's right.
I mean, it's all the magic that's within. And can we access that magic? And how do we remove barriers to that, mm-hmm. you know, magic? Feeling
and,
it.
And what do you want to dedicate your orgasms to?
Anton LaVey and Satan? No, just
I was wondering about that. I'm like, I don't know. What do I want to dedicate my orgasms to? Probably more sexual freedom worldwide.
Probably more.
Probably, yes. For myself. Well, Evelina, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show again.
Thank you, Monica. I love doing these shows with you.
I know. We should do this more often. So you have the Women Only in Sebastopol. That's March 15th. The one-day workshops in San Francisco. There's For Women Only on the 26th. And right before that, the day before, is Gay and Bisexual Men, February 25th. And then you're doing some pujas and ecstatic work. The Circle of Radiance is out in Sebastopol. So if anyone's curious about what you've got going on, it's Love Journey Tantra. Is that right?
LoveJourneyTantra.com.
Cool.
And we do have a puja on the 25th for men only. Here in San Francisco.
Oh, cool. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of sexy energy going on the 25th in San Francisco. It's going to be hot.
If anyone goes to that Sebastopol retreat, please call into my show and tell me what it's like, because I'm very interested.
Well, maybe Evelina should call into your show and tell you what it's like.
When you're explaining just the simplest of things, you're so sensual about it.
Isn't it amazing?
Her
energy
is crazy over here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, it's serious. It's serious. I'm like, woo, I'm turned on. Oh, I'm doing a radio show. I mean, it's a radio show about sex. It's good, but woo. Pay attention. What are we talking about? Sacred sexuality. Awesome. Evelina, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So as we're talking about removing the barriers to the sacred connection that we have with each other, this really kind of fits into what you're doing as well. Katie, welcome to Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So you're working on, right now it's a web application.
That's right.
And let's talk about the kinds of data that people put into the computer so that they know when they're fertile and when they're not.
There are two main fertility signs that each woman has every day. And when you know what they are and you know how to measure them and you put them in this graph, you can see if you can get pregnant or not on each day. Any day.
Right.
And those two signs are your temperature when you wake up first thing in the morning. That's also known as your basal body temperature. And what it is, it's your resting metabolic temperature. So as soon as you wake up and you get up and you do something else, It changes.
So you have to like lay there, have a thermometer by the bed, and then
put it in your mouth. Only takes a few seconds, and then you've got your temperature.
Right.
The other main fertility sign, which I really love, is cervical fluid. And cervical fluid is the normal vaginal moisture that women experience most every day. Most women have no idea that it's actually telling them a story. It's telling you the story of
fertility,
fertility,
right?
Yeah.
How fertile you are.
Yeah, exactly. You're becoming more fertile as your cycle progresses.
So how do you measure your cervical fluid?
So measuring cervical fluid, there's several ways you can do it. The easiest one that some women do is just notice when there's cervical fluid on your underpants.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you've got some fertility going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can also just check it when you go to the restroom. Just a quick little swipe between the inner labia and you can see the consistency, like what's going on
and
there.
And consistency is key.
It is key.
Are you more fertile when it's like a fine brandy or when it's like more yogurty?
Fine brandy. That's one I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Single barrel scotch.
Oh, well.
It's when it's more viscous that you're...
You become more fertile as you progress through your cycle and the water content of the cervical fluid increases.
So the more liquidy it is, so it's more on the brandy side if you're more fertile.
I am so glad I did this show.
I know, isn't it awesome?
Yes.
I learned so much. I love it.
So a woman will progress through her cycle. It'll start out like kind of dry or sticky and then go through creamy, watery. And then when it's really fertile, it'll be stretchy like a raw egg white. So it'll actually stretch several inches between your fingers.
That's when you're really fertile.
That's when you're really, really fertile. Oh. And a great time to have sex if you're trying to have a baby.
Right.
Not a great time to have sex
if you're not. Will, welcome to Sexploration with Monica, your partner. So you got into this relationship and you're like, I really don't want to use condoms. What do we do?
It was more like Will really didn't want to use condoms. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to go back on the pill.
Right.
High five, bro.
Well, condoms are not that fun.
Yeah.
And they kind of smell like insecticide or some inside and spermicide, whatever. They're just...
They're suboptimal.
Nobody loves condoms.
No one loves them.
So are you two doing the quality assurance on this application? Because I was going to ask if you had an open position.
Yo.
No, honestly, but you guys have done QA on this? Like, it's...
Yeah, I've been using the method as contraception for 2.5 years now.
Wow, that's awesome.
I've had no pregnancies, no pregnancy scares. I know exactly where I'm at in my cycle every day. And it's incredibly empowering for me.
There's also been a lot of research done on the method. So the study that we think was the best study done was in Germany with 1,000 women. And it showed that the method is 99.4% effective.
Oh my gosh, that's as effective as many kinds of birth control. I think the pill is less effective than that.
In actual use of the pill, it's
right.
less effective.
And actual use of condoms as well.
Way less, yeah.
Ooh. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so, and you're measuring temperature and cervical fluid. You don't have them put in when their period ended.
Well, the first day of your period is a key day. That's cycle day number one.
Mm-hmm.
And how long your cycles are also is factored into this. But it's not like the rhythm method or the calendar method, which also use cycle start and end date. They use past cycles to predict future fertility, which is why the failure rate on those is so high, because you can't use a past cycle to predict with any kind of accuracy when you're going to be fertile in the future, which is why the symptothermal method that Kendara uses is so very effective, because it's your daily
symptothermal signs. Meaning your temperature when you first wake up and the texture of your vaginal and cervical fluids.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Trying to keep up. So how has this changed your relationship with your sexuality? I mean, every day you're taking your temperature, you're like doing a little viscosity check on your fluids.
Mm-hmm. I would say that it's really put me in touch with myself as a fertile being,
mm-hmm.
like as a woman who...
Even though you don't want to be fertile necessarily.
Yeah.
Or not that really... you don't want to be fertile, but that you don't want to have the fruition of fertility.
Yes. Maybe. For me, yeah. The whole question is no longer about, oh my God, I really don't want to get pregnant, or oh my God, I really do want to be pregnant. It's when do I want to become pregnant? And now that I have the information every day of when I'm fertile, I can start to plan. Like, do I want to have kids in 5 years? Do I want to have kids maybe in 2 years? Do I want to have kids? Like, I just know when I'm fertile. I know the health of my cycle. And I know what I would need to do if I wanted to get pregnant. And I know what I need to do if I don't want to get pregnant.
After you use the app for a while, does it become second nature? You just get to know yourself that well?
Yeah. For me, it becomes like... taking my temperature and checking my cervical fluid has become like brushing my teeth. It's just something you do every day. And there's a huge benefit, but it totally outweighs the like 30 seconds a day it takes to implement.
Right. So how is this affected? I mean, not only do you have this amazing business where you're like, okay, now we're going to make this into an app. We're going to make it available worldwide. I'm sure it's also revolutionized your relationship with each other.
Yeah, it's been really cool. It all started when I first asked Katie to go on the pill. After we first started dating, and
she's like, but I don't want to go crazy.
You know, couples have that and that talk, and she was like, hell no. Why don't you just use condoms all the time?
Right.
You know, and
it's kind of weighs heavy to ask your partner to go on the pill, because there's so many variables that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Yeah.
Well, and so out of that, we found this method, and it's really, I'd say it's brought us closer. Like, I know what's going on with her, and we share responsibility for birth control. So it's like we're a team. And I just think it's really cool also. As an engineer, it's like we get this graph that tells me about what's going on with her body.
Cool.
What do you do when you are fertile? Do you just not have sex?
We'll use... we can use condoms and withdrawal, because when you're fertile, you want to really double up on the contraception. If you're gonna have vaginal sex.
Oh, good point. You don't always have to have penis vagina intercourse. That's not the only kind of sex.
Yeah, there's lots.
Wait,
of
what?
Kinds of
okay,
sex.
I'm learning a lot on the show tonight.
Well, sometimes people think, oh, doing it. There's only one way to have sex. There's only one way to get off and share sexual energy. But that's not true. There's people that the sex act is blacking boots. Or tying each other up.
I know that, dude.
Exactly. There's a lot of... I was actually thinking of this amazing woman. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of people who do some really interesting ways of sharing sexual energy.
Yeah.
You know?
For us, it's the time that we get to be extra creative and and maybe explore some things that we may not.
Sorry, I just got some really fun visuals. Like, you're dressing up in funny outfits, extra creativity. Woo! I'm thinking of positions.
So I'll share more of that on the next show.
Yay! Right. Because you're definitely drawn to be more sexual when you're fertile. Isn't that true?
Exactly, yeah. That's when your body is telling you, procreate.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Right now you have, on Kindara.com, you have a web application that anyone can like enter in their temperature in the morning and what they're finding with their cervical fluid. But you're going to develop it into an iPhone app. And you're also developing a wireless oral thermometer so you can just, you know, in the morning reach over for your Kindara temperature gauging device and boop, boop, it sends it directly to your phone.
Exactly.
Oh, that's bitchin'. That's a great idea.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're in fact.
I'm going to do crazy stuff with that thermometer. So please, let's get that on the market. And port it to Android, please.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you guys are heading to China. You were part of this amazing incubator program. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. This has all kind of happened in the last 2 weeks. We found out about this amazing hardware accelerator program based in Shenzhen. It's called Hackcelerator. Mm. It's for companies, startups who have a hardware component. Companies from all over the world have applied and we were accepted. So we're going to be one of, I think, 11
nice.
Startups. We have access to mentors and office space and really cool culture, like startup culture there. Mm. It's going to be a really big adventure and I'm excited to just buckle down and get this busted out.
Have you found that most of the people in the business world have been pretty open to the sexiness of your idea?
Not really.
No.
No.
I was wondering about that.
What, you mean the sexless dorks in Silicon Valley aren't backing you?
They're not like jumping all over this like white on rice?
Not quite yet. We've had a lot more interest for the procreative aspect of it.
Fertility.
Yeah.
Right.
China's not into that idea though.
Yeah, they'd be more into the
non-procreative,
aspect.
Right. But, I mean, it seems nice to not have to have condoms every single time. Like, you really have a choice. You're like, I have more awareness. I have more choice. You know, it seems really liberating. And also the part about, you know, really knowing where you are. I love, so describe the graphic that people get, you know, every single day.
Yeah. So in the graphic, we put the cervical fluid axis and the temperature axis on the same graph. And with that, you can see, like, once your cervical fluid line starts to dip down, you're approaching fertility. And then once the two lines rise together, as they will after ovulation, and then you're no longer fertile, then you know that you're safe mm-hmm. for natural, lovely, luscious intercourse.
So coming inside, actually
yeah.
doing it.
Yes.
Yes. And that's so, and so there's different levels of safetiness. How much is the totally not safe period?
Well,
how long is that time?
In a typical woman's cycle, which is about 28 days, and that's not, most women's cycles are not 28 days, which is
tricky.
Something people also don't know. But in a typical cycle of around 28 days, a woman will have about 7 days when she's fertile, when she can get pregnant. And the rest of her cycle, she cannot get pregnant. So you'll have about 21 days per cycle.
Oh, okay.
Of
home free.
Home free.
Hmm. Now, when I use my computer, I like to, this little talking paperclip with eyeballs helps me. Are you guys going to implement some sort of paperclip?
Do you have
about 90% of our budget for the app is actually going to the paperclip. Cool. We have some key innovations on that.
You could call him Fertily or Clippy, Fertile Clippy.
No, Clippy.
Can we buy that from you?
We'll workshop. We'll workshop the idea.
Let's give
the
him
name
some equity.
Oh, awesome. So let's talk about like how you are involved in, Will, I'm talking to you. I want to know how you're involved in looking at her cycle and how it's been inspiring for you to work on this project together. I mean, it's all about her fertility. And,
yeah, totally.
You know, but you're so involved. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, we're taught, you know, as guys in grades 7 and 8 health class, we're taught that women can get pregnant at any moment. We really don't know what's going on over there. And we're taught if you look at a woman, she could get pregnant if you mm-hmm. touch her. So it's all this fear, and I understand it because they don't want kids in grade 8 to be impregnating their girlfriends. But we grow up and we're in the dark, so this has been a process of me learning about how does a woman's body work, and this amazing revelation that there's only 7 days in a month when my wife could get pregnant, and there's 20 some odd other days when we can just be carefree and really know with 100% certainty that she can't get pregnant. So that to me is like, I'm amazed that everybody doesn't know this.
Well, and it's the if you're guessing and wrong issue. Do you know what I mean? Because then it can be so traumatic. You have to decide, am I making a choice? Am I going to the doctor? Am I going to adoption? Am I going to, what am I doing? And so I think it's that scariness. I mean, how do you take the fear out of this equation? And how do you know it's 100% certain?
So no form of contraception is 100%. But like Will said, the studies have shown that it's 99.4% effective when done correctly. So that's good enough for me.
Right.
And it also doesn't have any of the side effects that the pill or an IUD or even diaphragms and cervical caps, they
or the NuvaRing
or
any kind of
or,
the shot. Yeah. Oh, the shot
that,
makes people
so crazy.
That little
spring they put in you now.
Yeah, that's the Mirena, the IUDs.
That thing hurts, man.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah,
it does. I know. I know all about that one. And it's funny because, you know, you're always making this kind of trade-off. You're like, yes, I want the intimacy and connection of no condoms or not having to think about birth control all the time. But it's always kind of on your mind. And it's interesting that you've been able to take this method and be like, okay, I know exactly when I'm pregnant. You know, it's not on your mind more or less than having to take a pill every day, probably, yeah. You know. Are you ever like, oh, I forgot to take my temperature today?
Sometimes I will forget, like if I'm traveling or, you know, sometimes I will forget. But because it's the temperature pattern is over the course of your cycle, if you skip a day here and there, it doesn't really affect the effectiveness of the method. If the rule is that if you're not certain that you're not fertile, you have to assume that you are.
Mm.
And for me, knowing where I'm at in my cycle has taken away all the scariness and all the, oh my God, am I late? Like, oh my God, am I pregnant? Oh my God, with this, that. Like, even when I was on the pill, when I had an IUD, I was never quite sure what was going on with my cycle. And with this method, I know for sure what's going on with it.
Right. Well, and because there's a lot of birth control methods that totally obliterate your cycle.
Yeah.
The Mirena, I didn't have a period for 5 years. I'm not going to say I didn't like that, some parts of it, but there are other things about having the Mirena that are awful. You know what I mean? And then, you know, the NuvaRing, you can get rid of your cycle just by leaving in the ring for that fourth week, you know? And a lot of people do that with birth control pills. They skip the placebo week and then they just continue taking pills. But it's interesting the ways we're kind of hacking our biology with these chemicals.
Yeah, very interesting. There's been so many studies done about women on the pill and women on different kinds of hormonal contraception. And there's not time to list them all out and what they've all discovered. But, you know, anything from women choosing the wrong partners, because when you're on the pill, you're biologically more likely to choose a mate that is genetically similar to you.
I heard about this study. It was when women are on the pill, they're not able to sense the immune system of their partner. And I think they do it by sensing pheromones or something. And that's why we make out. That's why we're totally wanting to be in each other's faces. Like, so we're actually sensing each other's immune systems at
that
time.
That's why so many girls on the pill like to get with me. Just kidding. Hey, Santorum hates your app, by the way. So thank you for that.
Good.
And, no problem.
there's
because it's a way to make sex sacred and you don't have to worry about actually getting pregnant.
Yeah, congrats. There's a lot of women rely on their instinct or their intuition. Have you found that when you have data that tells you what's going on with you, has your intuition been validated or not?
Definitely validated.
Cool.
I can tell when I'm fertile. I mean, well, because it's so obvious with the, you know, ladies, if you have that like, what the fuck feeling, did I just get my period? Like, what is going on down there? Water gushes feeling?
Yes. I have that. And yeah. I'm like, what is happening
that
down there?
That means you're really fertile.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, so you've learned signs. You've learned signs that you didn't know before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Huh. I have that more in the morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Probably because
you should write it down on the calendar or something.
You've been laying down all night. So.
Or I should just try the web app. Well, what am I thinking? Why didn't I try this before?
Yeah.
Cool. So we can find out more at kindara.com. You're doing the smartphone application for both iPhone and the Android.
Yep.
Cool. You're developing a wireless oral thermometer.
That's correct.
In China.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. How do you think people, because this is kind of like the rhythm method that people used to do with calendars and the period and everything else. I heard that that wasn't very effective, but because it's about the past?
Well, yeah, it's actually, I like to say it's in no way similar to the rhythm method.
Mm.
But because they both rely on abstaining from unprotected sex during your fertile time, people are like, oh, it's the same thing, right? Not the same thing at all. The rhythm method uses your past cycles to predict your future fertility. It uses, like, when was the first day of your last period? And, like, yeah, you probably ovulated here, so you're probably fertile. You're probably going to be fertile here. And it's just not accurate. It's really not accurate enough to use as contraception. Whereas the symptothermal method, you're taking your daily measurements every day, so you know, like, am I fertile? Is today a fertile day? Could I get pregnant if I had sex today? That's why it's so accurate.
And tell me more about the temperature. What's the temperature differences between fertile and not fertile?
In the beginning part of your cycle, meaning from the first day you get your period until you ovulate, which is for most women around the middle of their cycle, first part, that part, your temperature will be in a range that is significantly lower than the post-ovulatory temperatures. As soon as you ovulate, progesterone starts being produced, and that raises your core temperature. So your core temperature will stay high until you get your next period. And then that's when the progesterone level drops off. That's when your uterine lining is shed. And that's when your temperature goes back down to the pre-ovulatory set of temperatures.
If you wanted to do this just for funsies, just to chart your cycle, could you do this if you were on another birth control method?
You could definitely do it if you were on any non-hormonal birth control method. Any hormonal birth control method will be obscuring your natural fertility signs.
So you wouldn't know about the cervical fluid viscosity and the temperature changes wouldn't be happening.
That's correct.
Right? Interesting. That could explain why I'm having just wildly random moments of like, whoa, vagina, talking to me. Totally, because, you know, that whole what the hell did I just have my, you know, I can totally feel like all this vaginal moisture being like, hello, vaginal moisture.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's like your vagina's talking to you.
Telling your story.
Yeah. Cool. Kindara.com. That's your website. That's Katie and Will, thank you so much for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica.
Corey Sklar.
What you guys are doing seems really cool, by the way. That's awesome. You're going to help a lot of people. Hi, I'm Corey. Listen to me live tonight.
Tonight on Illogical Contraption.
10 to midnight.
That's right.
Every Friday. Subscribe on iTunes.
Thank you also to Evelina Rose of Love Journey Tantra. Some exciting one-day workshops here in San Francisco. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you, Monica.
Thanks, Monica.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
You can download free podcasts at sexplorationwithmonica.com.